Hey friend, welcome to the Good Gets Better podcast. I'm your host, Amber Vreeland, and today we're going to be talking about God as a waymaker, and I have Jordan Feliz joining me, so it's just going to be a good time. I am so excited for you to hear all that Jordan Feliz has to share, but before we get into that, let's take a second and pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for today, and we are so grateful to officially be in 2024. Lord, it's so exciting and refreshing to have a new year. So Lord, I pray that you would bless this year and that you would bless this month as we are making goals and getting excited for plans that we have going forward. And so Lord, please bless this time of reflection and growth and goal setting, and help us to be more disciplined. Lord, I pray that you would also help us to have so much peace in your plan for us that we aren't even concerned when things don't go our way. Lord, I pray that you would help us to witness you moving in our lives and help us to say yes when you call us to do something and to be quick to go through the doors that you opened for us and to not be upset or disappointed, but to be grateful when you close doors that we aren't meant to walk through. Because anytime you say no or redirect us from something, it's because you're protecting us and because you have a better plan for us. So help us to remember that and to be excited about your plans. And so Lord, I just pray that this year and this month and this week even, that we would see you make a way in ways that we have never seen you move before, to make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, we love you and we give this day to you and we can't wait to see what you do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm currently reading through the Old Testament, and it's incredible hearing about how many times God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And right now, we are living in a time where people say that God doesn't move in the same ways as he did in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, we read stories of God bringing water from a rock and showing up in a pillar of fire and splitting oceans and even the burning bush. And people have a hard time believing that God can do those same things today, or that he just doesn't want to, that he can do it, but he just chooses not to. But the God that we serve today is the same God of the Old Testament. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "I, the Lord, do not change." So then what's the problem? Why aren't we seeing God move as he did back then? Well, the reason why is because today we live in a time where people prioritize screen time over God time. We live in a time where people lack true faith because they aren't spending time with God. In the Old Testament, people didn't have cell phones or social media or computers or video games and so many distractions turning them away from God on a daily basis. They prioritized spending time with God. But these days, people make excuses as to why they didn't read their Bible because they were too busy, when the truth is that if you wanted to, you would. And that's a fact. You would make the time if you truly wanted to. But the enemy keeps you away and tries his best to convince you that it's no big deal because a lot of people are Christians and fail to read their Bible daily. So it's okay if you don't. But the Bible is where we are empowered and given the strength that we need to face the day. It tells us the truth about who God is. The enemy's also going to try to tell you that you already know enough about the Bible, or that you have enough scriptures memorized, so it's okay if you don't read your Bible today. But the Lord makes it so that when you read scripture, he tells you something new through it every single time. And I know this about the enemy, and the reason why I'm talking about this is because recently I started reading my Bible way more consistently and prioritizing that time, and I have seen it transform my life. Don't get me wrong, I was reading my Bible before, but I wasn't reading it on a daily basis. And if I missed a day, I didn't find it to be a big deal. But the truth is that when you are reading your Bible consistently every single day, it changes your life. Like, it impacts you so much. When I read my Bible at the beginning of the day, throughout the day, I have so much more peace and joy and excitement and less worrying and less stressing. And I'm the type of person who overthinks, who is continually getting anxious. Well, at least I was. But now that I've been reading my Bible every single day and taking the time to get up early in the morning to read it, I have seen such a transformation in my peace and in my mindset and mental health that then makes such an impact on the people around me. Like, my mom even has mentioned that I've seemed more joyful lately. And I didn't even realize when she said that I had been more joyful. But I knew in that moment that the reason why I'm giving off more light and more joy is because I'm prioritizing reading my Bible more. And it has given me more faith in God and His ability to move in my life. And I think that we continually need the reminder that impossible isn't a word in God's vocabulary. Impossible is a human word. Matthew 19 verse 26 says that Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." And Genesis 18 verse 14 says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" We need to start being empowered and trusting and believing in God for impossible things. And thankfully, we can simply ask God to show us more and to help us to trust Him better with impossible tasks. Something that I did to read my Bible more was literally asking God to help me be more disciplined and to help me want to read my Bible more. And I know that kind of sounds silly, but it has made me more motivated to read my Bible because I believe that the Lord helps me to feel motivated so that I do read it and to battle the lies of the enemy who tries to keep me from reading it. Isaiah 42 verse 16 says, "I will lead the blind." And I believe this can mean the spiritually blind, not just physically blind. "I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." God is a waymaker, and He will interfere in any way that He needs to in order to lead us among the path that He has for us. And this is exemplified in what Jordan Fleece has to share. And so let's get right on into my conversation with Jordan Fleece. So I have a very awesome special guest with me today, Jordan Fleece.
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Did I say your name correctly, by the way?
Fleece?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Because I've always wondered, like, if I was saying it correctly.
Everybody, I always just tell people, you've heard, like, Feliz Navidad. You've heard that?
Yes.
That's it.
Oh, that's like, amazing.
Happy in Spanish. So, yeah.
It's happy in Spanish?
Yeah, it's happy in Spanish.
That's actually so cool because
yeah.
I feel like you're such a happy guy.
Dude, I know everybody keeps saying that.
Really?
I think I believe you. No, but yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's so fun. My wife is actually trying to get like just the word happy tattooed on her because it means, yeah, our last name means happy. It's fun to have the last name and,
yeah,
you know, and hopefully give it some cred.
Yeah.
With my actual like life, you know.
Do you have any kids?
I do. I have two. Yeah. I have a little girl who's 7 and a little boy who's 4.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
When you were like naming them, did you think about like the meaning behind their names?
We did. Yes. Yeah. So our little girl, her name is Jolie, mm-hmm, and her middle name is Bennett. And so Jolie means pretty, mm-hmm, and Bennett means blessed, mm-hmm, and Fleece means happy. And
wow.
Then with Judah, we were more like, wanted more of like, kind of like a powerful thing for him and happy. So his name is Judah Orion Fleece.
Wow.
So yeah. And so like Judah obviously means one to be praised. And then Orion is just like a strength name. for like obviously the warrior. But yeah, so, and then his last name obviously means happy. So there's not really any like family tie to either of the names as much as just our last name. But yeah. So we try to take everything into consideration.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Something else that I think is so cool is your two new songs.
Yeah.
So you have The King's Alive.
Yes.
And then you also have Somebody Loves You.
Yeah. Yes.
I am a huge fan of Somebody Loves You.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
I have that song memorized.
Oh, come on. Let's go. Dude, that's one of my favorite ones I've been able to release. I'm still trying to get the label to maybe get back it as a single, but I don't know if they're gonna do it. But I love it. I love it so much. Yeah.
What's the meaning behind like both of those songs? Like, is there a story there?
Yeah, you know, okay, so what's crazy is we wrote both these songs one day apart from each other.
Wow.
So Somebody Loves You, we wrote just because I have seen a lot of my family and a lot of my community and a lot of my friends and a lot of people, they struggle with accepting the cross.
Mm.
They have a tough time understanding why they're worthy of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us deal with that.
Yeah.
Especially when we're going through seasons where we're doing things that we don't want to do or we feel like we're not worthy of, you know. And I mean, I've got so many friends that I feel like get stuck in cycles of sin and like they're trying to get through it, you know, people that are in therapy for certain things and all kinds of stuff. But I really wanted to write a song that would kind of like meet people where they are today. I feel like it's one of those things that we hear that, you know, about God's love all the time, mm-hmm. but I felt like I wanted to write it in a way that was more like, but it all changes when you realize that that is something that's like a statement that you can like put on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where that song, like the heart behind the song came from. And I love that song too. So I'm so glad yeah. you love it. It's my little girl's favorite song that I've done so
amazing.
Far too, which is awesome. Even though I wrote Beloved for her. So I'm like, well, what about Beloved though? And she's like, well, I like that one too. But yeah. And so King is Alive is really special because it was kind of inspired by my kids. So my kids got home from school one day and I was answering some emails on my phone and they ran upstairs and I went upstairs to go play and my little boy was running around the room. My little girl was running and my little boy goes, Daddy, I think we should go hang out with Jesus today. And I was like, well, you know what, dude, we can hang out with him right now. Like Jesus is just as alive today as he was when he actually walked on this planet.
Mm.
And him, my little girl, was just like, oh my gosh, we get to hang out with Jesus. You know, like I was like, anytime, like you guys, like that's what praying is. Like, yeah. You know, and I'd already kind of told them, but I think that it kind of sunk in deeper for them that they just know that he's always with them. And mm-hmm. and to just get to see them get so excited, it got me excited. I was like, that is so cool. You know what I mean? And so a month later, I found myself up at this retreat where we were writing. So the day after we wrote Somebody Loves You, I was like, hey, I had this idea. How could we tell the world that the king is alive? And
mm-hmm.
my buddy's like, well, we call the song The King is Alive. That's awesome. And so we just started kind of trying to hone in on something. And, you know, I read this quote, but I'm going to kind of botch the quote, but I've kind of like conglomerated several quotes about this because it basically, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, it's not something that's just like a historical event to be like commemorated like every Easter. And I think Max Lucado was the person who said that. But when I read that, I was like, man, that's so true because the resurrection actually, it transforms our faith every day.
Yeah.
It's actually the source. It was the seed that was planted that basically paid our ransom. And so like when Jesus defeated death, that is the source of like our hope and our joy that we should be singing about and proclaiming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this song as a reminder of that and that for anybody who's listening to it, man, like whatever you're going through, Jesus is on the throne. He's been there mm-hmm. from that day forward and he's going to be there until he takes us home. So it's just a reminder of that and a song to get pumped up about, you know, the fact that he's always going to be there.
Yeah. I love that. And I love both of those songs because I feel like they really show like an intentional relationship between like us and God.
Yeah.
The King is Alive one really talks about like the king perspective and like seeing him as like a god on a throne. And yeah. then like somebody loves you. I really love those lyrics because it's so like intentional. And like what yeah. it says about how like, oh, he talks about you even yeah. like in heaven. Like I yeah. love that specifically.
And too. I love that you're catching on to that because I think, you know, I've always wanted to be super intentional about the music that I'm putting out. And The King Is Alive is written from a god on the throne perspective, whereas Somebody loves you is more as a God our Father perspective. Yep. You know what I mean? And he's both those things. I think that's one of the beauties of being able to write music is being mm-hmm. able to touch people and reach people at different levels because everybody's on a walk of faith yeah. and everybody's on a journey. And, you know, depending on what season they're in, somebody might need to be told that they've got a father that loves them, or they might need to just be reminded of the God of the universe. He's yeah. here and he's for you and he's with you and he's never going to leave you, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that. That's awesome.
That's amazing. And I love to hear that, like, you wrote those songs with your kids in mind. And,
yeah.
Like, oh beloved. My gosh, yes. I had no idea that you wrote that about your daughter.
I did. Yes. Yeah. I wrote it a week after I found out that I was going to be the dad of a little girl, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So when you were, like, writing that song, what are some things that you, like, thought about as you were about to have a child?
Yeah. So, you know, when we were getting ready, found out we were having a little girl. And then a week later, I ended up in a room with two dudes. I mean, I've almost every song you've ever heard from me, the three of us have written it basically, but they both already had little girls. And so when I walked in the room that day, I was just like, boys, how is this going to be? How is this? You know? And it was so awesome because our conversation was so incredible. It was just so amazing to just talk about being a dad of a little girl and all these things. But like, as our conversation continued to progress, it took this weird turn because then we started talking about like the world mm-hmm. that our girls we're going to grow up in. And it's like the world is going to be telling our girls that they're not pretty enough and they're not skinny enough and they're not smart enough and they're wearing too much yep. makeup or not enough makeup, or it's just like a multitude of boundaries and expectations that yep. they have. And it's like, my little girl hasn't even been born yet and she already has these things that are on her and going to be expected of her. And so I just sat in the room. I was like, boys, we have got to write a song that reminds our girls where their worth is found, because mm-hmm. their worth resides in nothing that this world will ever tell them, but it's wound up all in the love that Jesus has shown them. And so that's where that song kind of stems from.
I love that. When you finished that song and you finally got to share that with your family.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, it was so special. I mean, my little girl was too young to like know.
Yeah. But
what was really special is that used to be the only song my little girl was she still is. She's just a firecracker. Like I keep telling the world, I'm like, dude, she's going to, if she's not president, she's going to be like the ruler of something. Like she's just, yeah, she's very special, man. I just love her so much. And she's just got such a like boss mentality, which is so awesome. But as a baby, she had the same mentality. It was like nothing was going to calm her down unless it was the exact thing that she needed in the exact moment. So we found out that if we played Beloved mm-hmm. in our car while she was screaming, she would be quiet.
Wow.
So like that was like kind of a gift in the moment,
yeah.
but it also felt so weird to like crank your own song like while you're driving. I'm like, oh, this is so weird. But it was like, you know, to get her to stop crying, you know, you'd be like, all right, we're gonna just try it, like see if it works, and it would work. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the next time it'd work again. So it was just really cool. And I've told her that story and she's like, no, there's no way. I'm like 100%. Yeah, it's been really special to share that. And we just put out a book actually about it as well.
Oh, wow.
So we did a children's book called Beloved as well. So
wow.
It's a message that we can share with everybody. So yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
All these like, cool projects.
Yeah, I know. It's been super fun. It's been awesome.
So I'm curious, when your daughter with like Beloved,
yeah.
would it work the same way when you were like singing in the room, or did you have to like play a song?
Mainly just playing the song. Okay. Like every once in a while, like when she was going to bed, I would like sing to her, you know, but it also felt so weird. I don't know. It just feels weird to sing her own song. I don't know. Like, so I would just like, I don't know. I'd just like sing her like something, and my wife would too. And yeah, she was a firecracker, dude. She didn't sleep for 3 years. Like literally, like didn't sleep through the night for 3 years, dude. Like we're talking like the most sleep we got in the first 3 years was 5 hour blocks.
Wow.
It's crazy. Yeah. And you know, we went and got her sleep tested and all kinds of stuff, and they're like, I don't know, you know, like, okay. I guess I'll just keep going crazy and drinking coffee as though it's like literally water. But, you know, it's awesome. And she's just grown up to be such a beautiful, like, sweet, just boss mama, dude. She's she knows what she wants. I told Jamie, I'm like, she's going to be the one that's like, when she's dating, like, she's going to be like, okay, I'm done with you. Like, she's just going to be like, get out. I don't, yeah. And I always tell her, I'm like, you know, because I've kind of been raised, like, I went to this, like, thing called Cotillion. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Oh, I've heard of
those,
like, before.
So I was raised, like, very, like, you need to be chivalrous. You need to be respectful. You need to be this. And so, like, I open the door for my wife. I, you know, I do all that. And so it's so funny because I've told her many times, like, there'll be times where sometimes she'll just open the door. I'm like, baby, let me get the door. She's like, daddy, I already know. If somebody doesn't open the door for me, like, I'm never going to see them again. I'm like, like, you're 7 years old. Like, what are you? Don't talk about that. Like, no, don't be thinking about it. She's like, I know, but I already know. Like, okay. All right.
She's starting her standards from
her
young age.
That's it. It's, yeah, 100%, dude.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever brought your family to a concert?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. They've come many times. My kids are just, it's incredible to watch them. It's so adorable. They actually just were at I did a fundraiser event for a mission house in my hometown. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh. Yeah. They're just so cute, man. It's like they lead the charge on all the, like, dancing and everything.
Aww.
And before you know it, all the little kids are up front. It's just precious. Oh, I love it.
That is so sweet.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Do you have a favorite song to perform?
Right now, it's probably Jesus Is Coming Back. I just really love. Yeah.
So,
I love playing that one right now, mainly because I just feel like it's been so awesome. I think I was really nervous about this song. Okay. It was like excitement and nervous because I felt like when we wrote this song, I was like, this song is special. Like, we just knew leaving the right that this song was special. But there was a little bit of kickback, you know, towards the beginning life of the song, like on radio.
Yeah.
And so I started getting really nervous because I'm like, man, like, I feel like the Lord really championed this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this confirmation that it's supposed to be this. But I started getting nervous, like, oh man, I hope people don't think it's too, like, dark or droll or something. But I was like, man, like, but really we're just singing about a truth. It's like, it's a hope that Jesus is coming back. Like, and the song was all written as a hope. Like, it's like, man, when I think about my friends, because I have a lot of friends that don't believe in God. And I'm like, I've been a part of sermons too, where it's like they use Jesus coming back as though it's like you're supposed to be scared into, like, becoming a Christian. Mm. And I'm like, man, what a different attitude we could have is, like, if one of my friends who is either, you know, left the church or doesn't believe in God or whatever it is, I'm like, what a different attitude they would have if they saw people singing with joy and hope that Jesus is coming back and not fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I've been so encouraged to see people, like, grab on to that and, like, and connect with it.
I think that's so cool too, because when you think about Jesus coming back, like, there's that perspective of, like, oh, this is nerve-wracking. Like, what's going to happen?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And then there's also the, like, whoa, it'll be so cool to meet Jesus again.
Yes, 100%. And there's definitely the whoa, like, oh man, but as believers, like, you can have nerves, but there should be no fear. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, man, if we're truly living the life that we're called to live, it's like, man, like, we should be walking with full authority towards that goal. You know what I mean? So,
That's so good. Something that I would love to hear about is, like, basically your testimony, like, how you transitioned from before you were an artist, before you became, like, well-known, to transitioning into that. Because I know that you have a lot of, like, songs that have been in the top charts and everything. And there's, like, a fast track situation.
Yeah. It's been kind of wild. So I started touring when I was 17. And so I joined a metal band. We're all Christians. And so, okay, I started leading worship for my youth group when I was 13, didn't want to sing. I wanted to play drums, but worship leader didn't show up one morning and my youth pastor kind of guilt tripped me into singing.
Wow.
And during that service, my mom and dad came in, our head pastor came in, and my youth pastor were all sitting there. And
after
the service, they were like, we feel like you have an anointing on your life for this. You should continue doing this more, whatever. Wow. So I started leading worship more. My senior year in high school, there was a band that was pretty popular and successful from basically, you know, LA up to Sacramento, like mm-hmm. the whole Central California area, they were getting pretty big. Mm-hmm. And their singer left the band. And I led worship at this event, this worship thing that was like a conglomerate of youth groups. Mm-hmm. And one of the guys from the band came and was like, wrote me on MySpace, which I don't even know if you even know what that is.
I've heard of it.
I'm dating myself for sure. But wrote me on MySpace and was like, dude, I saw you play at this gathering event. I loved your voice. Would you ever entertain singing for our band? Mm-hmm. And I never wanted to sing. I was like, metal? Like, are you serious? Like, no.
You definitely don't give me metal vibes right now.
yes. That, and that's pretty much everybody's kind of perspective of me. But I just said no. So I was like, no. I was like, sorry, just super not interested. Not my vibe. And like 2 weeks later, I just felt like I was sitting in my room. I was because I'd been writing a lot, you know, and I was in my room playing my acoustic guitar and I was wrapping up this idea. And I just kept hearing like this like really heavy electric guitar. And Whoa. It sounds so weird. I'm like, man, like that would sound really good. Like, but you know, whatever. And at that moment, I just felt like the Lord was like, you should go and see what they're about. Mm-hmm. So I told my mom, I was like, can you drive me? I don't know these guys. Will you just drive me out here? So mm-hmm. I met with them and the guys were just like, listen, like, we know that like you're more like of a worship kind of guy, but like we believe that we're called to something that's a little different. We want to actually go into these venues, play like heavy music, but we want to talk about Jesus on stage. So Whoa. We feel really called to playing in this genre, which is very unchurched, very like not about Jesus, mm-hmm. and basically talk about Jesus. And there was a couple bands that had started doing that around that time. Mm-hmm. And so, man, I just felt like before we left, I was like, I should do this. So I did. And I did that for 5 years. And Wow. We toured all over the country. And then, you know, 5 years later, we broke up and took a job at a church. And one of the bands that we had played with, the keyboard player for that band and I had kept in touch. We're really close. And he called me about 3 months after the band broke up and goes, if I flew to Nashville, will you write some songs? I have a buddy named David Leonard, a guy named Mike Donahue, blah, blah, blah. I've got these guys that want to come like write some songs with you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sure. I don't know who those guys are, but I'm in. And so I show up and I realize, oh, David was, you know, in this other band that I'd heard, you know, we'd never played with, but he was in a band called Jackson Waters. Mm-hmm. And then he was in All Sons and Daughters. And mm-hmm. Mike was in 10th Avenue North. I was like, oh, whoa, like, this is so cool. And I went out there and I just fell in love with Nashville. And I also fell in love with writing music with like one or two people rather than a band with everybody like throwing stuff at each other. You know what I mean? I just fell in love with it. And I went back home. My wife and I had just gotten married and I was just like, I know it sounds crazy, but I think we're supposed to move to Nashville. And my wife had just gotten like her dream job at the salon in my hometown. That's like very bouge, very cool. And I had gotten a job at my church leading worship. And yeah. So she was like, we finally have like actual income coming in, you know what I mean? You want to move, you know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I know, but I just feel like we should do this. She's like, well, let's pray about it. So we prayed about it for a year and we moved to Nashville. You know, the journey to Nashville is like an hour long story. It's probably for a different time, but just the Lord showed up in so many different ways. And we followed that call. And the day I got to Nashville, mm-hmm. 5 hours after I got to Nashville, I was walking across Main Street in downtown Franklin and a lady behind me goes, hey, you look like you're in a band. And my buddy who was with me at the time was like, he's incredible. And I'm like super not, I'm like way more shy about stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, David, please stop. But he's like, he's so good. You have to check him out. She's like, well, what did you move here for? And I was like, oh, well, I actually moved here because I felt like God called me here to do Christian music. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I was in a Christian band in the 90s called FFH. And I was like,
no way.
I have heard like every one of your records. My parents like loved you guys. So she was like, well, send me a demo. And so I sent her a demo. And that next day she sent that demo to every record label in town.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
So, yeah, it's just like, I guess my testimony of all this is just literally walking through the doors that God opened and told me to walk through. And yeah. It's gotten me here and it's been kind of crazy. And I know my success kind of feels like overnight in a lot of ways, but I feel like I've been doing it for so long mm-hmm. that it feels like it's been so long, yeah. You know, like I was just talking to my wife about this and I realized I've been touring. I've been on the road for 17 years.
Oh my
which
goodness.
Which is crazy to think about. It's almost 20 years that I've actually been on the road.
Whoa.
It's pretty insane. But yeah, like, it's been really cool to see all that God has done and opened doors for and closed doors for and in this, you know, space. And I'm super honored to be here.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you. And like, what a cool story. And like God moves so much in your life and you can like see that.
Yeah.
And so now that you were like, now that you've done it for like 17 years, is it just like super easy and like, oh, this is like back of my hand?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. Every season has different difficulties. And I always think that, oh, this season feels like this. But I think the thing about music is, especially just the music industry, there are so many moving pieces. And there's a lot of people that speak into what you're doing and that have control in what you're doing and all mm-hmm. kinds of different stuff. And so I think every season has different levels of difficulty. Mm-hmm. I'd say the road has gotten easier because it's just, I kind of know what to expect.
Yeah.
But then there's new things because, you know, it's like we have new people around, mm-hmm. you know, or new crew guys or new this or new that. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, people that, you know, melding together and aren't vibing on tour. And it's like, oh man, you know, I tell people like 90% of my job actually has nothing to do with music at all, actually. Mm. So I feel like that's been something to get used to with going into music full time. Because essentially you're just running a business full time and then your touring is a part of the job, but it's definitely not a bulk of the job.
Yeah.
And then there's writing, which is even smaller than touring. So yeah, there's a lot of different facets to it. So in ways it's gotten easier, but in ways it's just created more practice to be patient. I think early on in my career, I tried to squash things all the time with my own hands and control things and think, mm-hmm. oh man, I've been doing this for so long. I should be better than this. I should do this, you know, whatever. And, you know, the last couple of years, I feel like the Lord's been like just reminding me, like, if you just let me drive, take you to where I'm taking you, like, mm-hmm. and stop getting up there and trying to maneuver us around, like, we're going to get there way faster, you know? So mm-hmm. I feel like I've gotten better in certain circumstances. And also there's just opportunity to grow too in every season, which is good.
Yeah, that's so good. If you could go back and give yourself a piece of advice from the beginning, what would you say?
Oh, man. I would just tell myself to trust God, mm-hmm. trust his plan. You know, I think the most trouble I've gotten into in my life is not trusting what he has and me trying to dive into something before it should be or control a situation or whatever it is. So I think, honestly, that's my biggest advice to everybody, not just myself. It's just to every person mm-hmm. I ever run into. It's just like, man, just trust his plan. Trust mm-hmm. the assignment that he's given you. Mm-hmm. Like, because your assignment is very specific to you and who you are.
Yeah.
And even though you and another person in radio, you know, mm-hmm. you guys are in a similar field, mm-hmm. like that person isn't you, mm-hmm. you know, you have an assignment. And so just making sure that you stay out of that course and just trust him through it is really, it's the secret sauce, man.
That was so encouraging. Thank you.
Dude, of course. Yeah.
Okay. I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
So what's something that you would love to share with your listeners that maybe they don't know about you?
Something that they might not know about me, I'll give you two things. I grew up and the only thing I didn't, that I wanted to do as much as I wanted to do music was I wanted to be a pro snow skier.
No way.
Yep. And I also played water polo growing up, which a lot of people are like, what? What is water polo? So yeah.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah. So those are the two things.
Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been so much fun talking with you.
It's been awesome.
And it's been so encouraging.
That was my conversation with Jordan Feliz. And oh my goodness, Jordan Feliz's testimony is incredible because every single door that God opened for him, the Lord used other people in his life to open and guide him along the path and calling that the Lord had intended for him. And I think that's why we should be excited every day, because we have absolutely no idea what the Lord might have in store for us. He could send someone along that will change your life forever. And beautiful are the feet that bring good news. I especially love the story that Jordan Feliz shared about when he heard an electric guitar out of nowhere and felt that the Lord was telling him to join the Christian metal band, which would eventually lead to him moving to Nashville and starting his own music career, which would lead to him telling thousands of people about Jesus. I recently read in 2 Kings a story where God did something very similar. And I know that there's no such thing as coincidences. And so I just feel like it's so cool how the Lord led me to this passage at the same time that I would be sharing my conversation with Jordan Feliz. So in 2 Kings, God does something similar for the people of Israel. It was during a time when there was a famine in Israel and everyone was getting sick. Four men with leprosy decided to try journeying to an enemy camp to surrender and get food, because during the famine, the food was becoming really expensive, and a lot of people didn't have money for it, and they were ultimately just running out. So in 2 Kings 7, verse 4 through 9, it says, "We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway." So at twilight, the four men with leprosy set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. "The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and Egyptians to attack us," they cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the men with leprosy arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold in clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." So they went back and told the king, and because the king was then able to plunder the camp, it provided food and animals, which had fulfilled a prophecy that the prophet Elisha had spoken. And that's such a cool story, because the Lord made it where an entire army heard the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching, when there was in fact no army coming, there were no chariots, and there were no horses. And it made it so that they abandoned all of their goods and their tents and their gold and silver, which provided for the entire city. That's incredible. And I think that's so cool, because a similar thing happened in Jordan's life, where he heard an electric guitar out of nowhere when he had said to the band that he wasn't going to join them because it just wasn't his style. But through Jordan Feliz hearing this electric guitar out of nowhere, the Lord was able to convince him to join this Christian metal band, which would then lead him to moving to Nashville and to beginning this entire journey that leads him to being a worship leader of thousands of people and to spread such a big message. So when we come to understand that God is truly in control of our lives, and that his plans are so good, that's when we begin to have true freedom and joy, no matter what we face. Psalm 32 verse 8 says that the Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." So after hearing Jordan Feliz's testimony, it is so evident that God's hands were all over his life. He didn't even want to sing, but it all started with him having to do something out of his comfort zone, to sing for worship because his buddy was sick at church. And then one thing after another happens, and these guys who are from well-known worship bands like 10th Avenue North contact him to see if he would want to write songs with them in Nashville. And then he moves there, and on his first day there, he runs into a woman on the street who ends up being well known in the Christian music industry and sends his music to every record label. That is wild. But that is so, so cool. And that is just like God to do. And so what I want you to leave here knowing is that God can do anything at any given time. He is in control of your life, and he has incredible plans for you that he will make sure come into fruition, and he will use the necessary people that he needs to help guide you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and that it has encouraged you in some way. I would super appreciate it if you rated this podcast and make sure to follow so that you can keep up to date for whenever a new episode drops. And make sure to check out Jordan Feliz's music if you haven't already. I'll chat with you again next Monday. Just remember that when you focus on the good and when you focus on God, the good gets better.